We begin the current daf Masechtas Bava, Metzia daf Chav Ches. We begin on the top line of the Yamed. The Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf. That is, in the previous daf, the question of Simanim Deiraisa or Derabbanan was posed. And that is, when we know there's halacha, when someone loses an object, then there's a mitzvah of Hashavas Abeda to return to him the lost object. How do you return to him? How do you know that it's his? So on that, there's halacha of Simanim. He gives a Simon an identifying feature that he could show, that it could prove to you that it's his. And that the question was, is that a deraisa digadin? Is that halacha min ha-Tayra? Or was that only a rabbinic institution that Rabbanan made this takana to say that if someone brings a simon, although min ha-Tayra, you would maybe need edim, witnesses to testify that it shows that I would have to return to you? However, min Rabbanan, they said that even with that it should be enough. And what would the difference be? As the Gemara had said in the previous stuff regarding a get, regarding Isur and Shabbat Torah, regarding a woman getting remarried to a different man, for that, if let's say the messenger would drop the get to be able to return to him, he would have to have edim if it was only midrabanan. But if it would be midrabanan, then like all midrabanan halachas, like all halachas in the Torah, it would be enough with simanim. So that was the question. So the Gemara said that Rabbah had said that even if you say that it's going to be midrabanan, but then how do you return it? What is the reason why there was this halacha midrabanan to return it with simanim? So now the Gemara have finally said that the reason is because even the one who loses it, he's the owner of it. He really wants it to be returned with simanim. So since it's his money, he and all people that lose things allow this to be done to be returned that way. And the reason is because many times the one who loses himself is not going to have edim. How many people have witnesses for things they have in their house that when they're dropping it, that he could get two witnesses to say that I'm not relatives of his to show that yes, it's his. So he says, I want simanim because who knows the simanim but me? So therefore, let it be done with simanim with identifying features, and that way I'll be able to get it back. And that the Gemara had asked, which was the last discussion on the previous daf, on the bottom of the Amid, from a Mishnah Daf Chav, which said that a case of when there was three documents together, and it fell, and they all had the same lender's name with three different borrowers' names. So he said that when the malva, when the lender comes with a siman to say, look, you know, I could tell you that there were three documents and they all had my name and three other borrowers' names, that we returned it to him. That the Gemara asked, if it fell from the borrower, one of those three documents, which was his, that now when the lender gets back the documents, he has proof that you still owe it to me because I have the documents, he's going to have to pay up. That he doesn't want that to be returned with simanim. He doesn't care if I never get it back because the borrower doesn't need the document. All the document does when he gets it back is that the lender doesn't have it anymore to show, hey, you still owe me. If you had paid me up, you would have gotten the document back. Now, he doesn't want it. He says, let it stay by the one who found it as long as it doesn't go to the lender. And yet still we say that with that simon, you're going to return it to the lender. Now, that's not something that the borrower prefers. So how do we understand Rav's reasoning that he said, the reason why the Rabbanan instituted simonim, that if you say it's midrabanan, is because the borrower always wants it to be returned with simonim. Because that's the only way he'll even get back what he wants. But the problem is, in that case, he doesn't want it. He doesn't care if it never gets returned to him because he doesn't need it. It's just that the lender shouldn't have it. That's why he wants it. But if the one who finds it gets to keep it, let him keep it. And then the Gemara answered that, although that's a good question, but there it's not because of just the idea of simanim. That's because the Svara logic dictates, it tells us that who gets it over there is the lender. Because if you have three documents, all with the same lender's name, and three different borrowers, who does it make sense to fell from? Who's going to have... If it's the borrowers, why would he have two other borrowers, their documents that they got back from the lender, when it's all the same lender? It probably and most definitely fell from the lender, from the one who borrowed the money, who gave to this one who was borrowing the money, that it fell from him, and that's why we give it to him. So that answered that question. That's where our Gemara continues on the current daf, that Elohad it's not. But this that we learned over there in that same Mishnah, Daf Chafim et Alf, you have a similar question, which doesn't have the same answer that we had answered on the previous part of the Mishnah. It says there in the Mishnah, Matzah Tachar Shel Shtaris, if somebody finds a roll of documents, oh yeah, Gudah Shel Shtaris, or a bundle of documents, so halach is Hareza Yachzer, you have to return it. Now, the way you return it is because of a simon that the person that's giving for those documents, he gives you that simon. Now, whatever the simon is going to be, maybe the amount of documents that there are over there, but if the malva, if the lender gives a simon, so we return it to him. Now, however, this is the same question. If these documents had fell from the borrowers, hachi nami here also, you're going to say, denichele laloiva, that it's preferable, that the borrower wants this takana of things that la durili la malva, that it should be returned to the malva, to the lender with a simen. In other words, you were saying that the reason why the Rabban instituted is because he wants it. We know for a fact, although it's somebody's money, maybe we're giving it away to someone else. Doesn't make a difference. He wants things to be given back with simanim. But is that true in this case, that he would want them to be given back if the lender comes with a simen? But it's not true. I don't care, the borrower would say, if it ever gets returned to me. I don't need the documents. All I need is that the lender doesn't get it back. And now here you can't say the same answer that we said before, but the Svara logic tells us that it fell from the lender. That doesn't say over here, because here there's just a bundle of documents, and it doesn't say necessarily that it was all from the lender with three different borrowers. And yet still we say that whoever brings the simen, he gets it. Now, but that's the question that doesn't make sense according to what Rav had said, that the reason that the Rabbanan instituted was because the Leiva always wants it, the one who lost it always wants it, and in this case, the Leiva would not want it. So Elam HaRava, rather Rava concludes, Simanim Dairaisa. You have to say that this halacha of Simanim, of identifying features, when you can show something in the object that you know about it, that tells us that it's yours, that is Min HaTorah that we return it to you. So like I said, the Pasuk in Devarim, says V'hoyi Imcha, that this lost object that you found should be with you, Adroi Shechicha Oisa, until your brother comes looking for it, then when he comes looking for it, then you have to give it back to him. Now the question is, V'chidhalal Daitcha, would it really enter your thought process, that you should give it to him before he looks for it? I mean, in other words, I don't know who it is. How could I return it? What is the Pasuk really saying? Ella, rather, the way you should understand the Pasuk is Darshei Hu. You should seek him out. What does that mean, seek him out? I don't know who it is that lost it. You should check him out. Imramaihu Ayena Ramai. Is he a deceiver or not a deceiver? Is he someone that tricks people or not? Is he really telling the truth or not? That's what you have to be Darshei Hu. You have to check him out, not him checking out the object. And that is the halacha that we're saying, that you have to check him out. Now, lav b'simanim, so Rava, this is where Rava proves in the pasuk. Now, how do you check him out to see if he's telling the truth? Isn't it by asking him, well, what color was it? Well, how big was it? Now, what did it have anything? You ask him all these questions, those are what's called simanim. Shemaminah, from that pasuk you see that simanim are midarais. So now, related to this, and a clarification that Rav is going to be talking about, if let's say two different people give different signs that it's theirs, who do we know who to return it to? So Amar Rav, Rav says, Imtim tzaloyim is simanim deraisas. Now, if you say, like we had just said, that simanim are min ha-Torah, now as Rashi explains, that's a chiddush that Rav is saying, that even if you say simanim are deraisa and not rabbanan, even so, if the other person brings eidim, witnesses that it's his, as the Gemara, as Rav will later say, that if simanim ve'eidim, if one of them is bringing a simanim that it's his, which is deraisa, but the other one brings witnesses that it's his, then you still give it to the one that brings witnesses. That's the chiddush that he's saying. Even though it's deraisa, they're both deraisa, still witnesses are more authoritative in the sense that it proves more that it's that person. So now, but before Rav get a chance to continue, the Gemara asks, him tim talema? What do you mean? If you would say that it's simanim deraisa, what do you mean? Hapashadle, we just proved in the previous line of the Gemara that simanim deraisa, simanim and matar, we just brought a pasuk. So what are you saying, that if you're going to say, then I'm going to tell you all these halachas? What do you mean? You just proved that it's deraisa. Now the Gemara says no. From the ikalamema kedeshanina, because you could say, as we had answered on the previous daf, that the Gemara had said that how can you check him out with witnesses? In other words, bring witnesses to prove that it's yours. And that's what it would mean, Adresh Achicha Aisai, not necessarily by asking questions about it, that it would be simanim. And therefore, since it's not a complete raya, that's why Rava said, Im Tim Tzalayma. But he's assuming that the halacha is that it's Dairaisa. So Rava continues. He says, so if you're going to say that simanim are Dairaisa, simanim v'simanim, if there's two people that come, and they both give a simen, so there's one giving a simen and the other one giving a simen, so what do you do? He's proving that it's his, and he's proving that it's his. And that Rava says, Yiniach, you leave it until Eliyahu HaNavi comes, and he'll tell us whose it really is, because we have no way of knowing the difference between the two of them. Simanim ve'edim, let's say one of them brings a simen that it's his. He can tell you certain characteristic about it, and the other one brings witnesses saying that it's his. So then, and that's why we said that was a saying, a chiddush, and why Rava is saying that if you're going to say it, even if simanim is deraisam, still yinosin lebala edim, you give it to the one that brings witnesses, because still witnesses are better than simanim. Now, simanim v'simanim ve'ed echad, if one person has simanim that it's his, and the other one has simanim, and one person that comes and says, yes, I know that it's his, eid echad kemanda lesa dami, we consider that one witness as if he's not even there, v'yanech, and then you leave it because now you're just left with one with simanim and another one with simanim. Because Allah is, it says in the Torah, Pishnaim Adim Yakum Davar, for witnesses to be considered in these types of halachas, there have to be two witnesses. If it's just one person, we consider him as if he's not there, and you're back to Samanim Samanim, and therefore you have to leave it till Eliyahu Nabi comes. Ede Ariga of Ede Nefila. Let's say one person has witnesses saying that we saw him weaving this, we saw him make this object. But the other one has Ede Nefila saying we are witnesses and we saw it fall from him. So on that, the Rabbi says, Tinasin la Ede Nefila. We give it to the one that has witnesses saying that it fell from him. And the reason is, Damrinan Zabuni Zavna, we say that, yes, there are witnesses that he weaved it, he made this, but he sold it to someone else, and it fell from someone else. And who is that someone else? This person that have witnesses saying it fell from him. So although you made it, and of course it's mine, look, I could even have proof that I made it. Yes, you made it, but you sold it to someone else, and therefore the one that it fell from is the one that gets it. Midas Arkai, the measurements of its length, umidas rachbay, and the measurement of its width. And that is, one person tells you how long it is, and the other one tells you how wide it is. Tinasin lamidas arka, you give it to the one that tells you how long it is. Why? Demidas rachbay, because the measurement of its width, shiurikum isharla, the person could estimate, kad machsi lamaravakai, when the owner was wearing it and walking around. And that is, if this person, this other one who's telling you how wide it is, if he saw the owner wearing it, so if let's say it's a talis or some type of a cloak, he could estimate how wide it is because he just sees how big the owner is. But the length is much harder to estimate. And therefore, the one who's saying that the length is more authoritative, again, he's more definitive, and therefore it's more of a proof, and that's why he gets it. However, midas arka lemishtarla, as we said, because the length is something that is not really estimatable. It's very hard to. And therefore, again, that's why we said that the length is more than the width. Now, the Gemara says, midas arka or midas rachba. Rava says a case of when one person tells you separately, I tell you the length is that much and the width is that much. Umidas gamav. And the other one tells you that I don't know each one separately, how long it is and how wide it is, but I can tell you the total area of the measurement of that object. And that's what, as Rashi explains, that's why it's called gamav, because gam was a Greek letter. And that was made like how our endochaf is, our chaf sofit, which is basically like the shape of an L, which the idea of that is that it's two lines that are perpendicular to each other, one going up and down and one going right to left. And that's why the term gamav would be a combination of both the up and down, the length, let's say, and the right and left, and the width. So he knows the total area, but he doesn't know how to, the breakdown of the length separate and the width separate. So he knows in Lamidas Arkev Rachba, then you give it to the one that told you separately the length and separately the width, because, again, that's more definitive of a simon than the total area together. Midas Arkev or Midas Rachba, if someone told you the length and the width, Umidas Mishkalaisav, and the other one told you the amount of its weight, and that, you nasin lamidas mishkalais, if you give it to the one that tells you the amount of its weight, because weight is something that, unless if you had it, it'd be very hard to estimate the weight. Whereas the other one, again, although that's a simon, but in contrast, in comparison to the one that tells you the weight, that's a more weighty simon, and therefore you give it to the one that told you how much it weighs. Now, similar to these halachas that Rav has said regarding a lost object, he says regarding the halachas of a get. Now, a get is a divorce document that when a husband is divorcing a wife, he has to give her this document, and that's what's called a get. So now, this get was found. Hu aimer simani haget. So now, the husband says the different simanim characteristics about the divorce document, and therefore what he's saying essentially is that it fell from me, which means to say, what does it mean that it fell from me? That I changed my mind, never ended up giving it to her. She's not divorced. She's still married to me. V'hi aimer siman haget. But then she goes ahead, she gives different simanim about the get, and what she's saying is it fell from me, and that is because he gave it to me, and I'm divorced, and I can go ahead and marry, and all the different halachas that come when the woman is divorced. So who do you give it to? Yinasin lo, you give it to her. And the reason is, as Rashi explains, because he gave the get. Of course he knows the simanim about it. But her, if it wasn't given to her, where would she know the simanim from? So obviously it fell from her, because the fact that he knows it, but of course he made it and he gave it to her. But if she knows, that's proof that it really fell from her, and that's why we say that she gets it and she was divorced. Now the Gemara asks in it, B'mai, what are these simanim that we said that he and she gave, but specifically what she gave, that we say that she gets it? If we say that she said how long it is and how wide the document was, But Dilma Bahadi did not get lay. Maybe at the time when he was holding on to it, Chazite, she saw it. And then she could tell you how big, how long it was and how wide it was. But that doesn't prove that it fell from her because she saw him holding it saying, I'm going to divorce you. So Ella, rather, nekev yesh b'bitzaro is plenty. Rather, there was a hole that was there on the side of a letter. When she says that, that's something that you can't tell by him just holding it. And therefore, if she's giving such a simon, obviously she had it. She looked over the divorce document. She saw that hole there. And that's why if she's saying it, obviously she had already gotten it from her husband. And that's why she gets it and she's divorced. Now, hu oimer siman hachut. Let's say he says an identifying feature of the thread that the get is tied with. And she says a simon about the thread, the string that it's tied with. You give it to her. So again, the Gemara asks, "B'mai? What is the simon that she's giving that we say that she definitely had gotten it already, and that she's divorced?" If it's regarding the color that it's white or that it's red, but again, the question would be then, when he was holding it, she saw the color, and now she gives that as a simon, but that wouldn't prove that she had gotten it. Ella b'midas arkas. Rather, must be talking about that she told you how long that thread was. That's something that would be very hard to estimate unless if she had gotten it already. And therefore, if she gives that simon, we say it probably came from her and she gets it. Now, hu oimer b'chafisa. Let's say he said that you found it in a skin bag. So I could prove to you that it was from me because I could tell you what it was, what container it was in when you found it. V'hi oimer b'chafisa. And she says, I know what you found it in and I could prove that it fell from me. It was in a skin bag. And that Rava says, Yinasin loy. Here he gets it. Now, my time, what's the reason? Because me the yada, she knows, the choma de isle, whatever he has, bechafisa hu demonachle. He puts them all in these type of skin bags. Because she was married to him. She knows him very well. She knows whatever my husband puts in, he puts in this skin bag. And therefore, when she says this, it doesn't mean anything to say that she had gotten it and it fell from her. Because she just knows everything he puts it in. Therefore, that's not enough to say that she would be able to get it. And that's why we give it back to him. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Again, continuing on the halachas of Hashavas Aveda regarding those that there's a chiyuv lahachris that you have to announce certain the specifics in that halacha, as the Mishnah tells us. V'ad masay chayv lahachris. Now, until when do you have to announce? So we said those things that there's a simin or the owner wasn't miyayish, we said that then you can, it's not harel shalom, you can't take it, but you have to announce it. Now, if someone doesn't come, how long do you announce it? Till you're 90, till you're 100? When do you continue to do this? So now we have a machlekes in our Mishnah. The first opinion says, Ad kedei sheyedu bo shcheinav, until the neighbors know about it, divrei meir. Now the Gemara is going to explain exactly whose neighbors are we talking about, which neighbors of who. But that's what the Reb Meir says, until the neighbors know about it, then you don't have to announce it anymore. Reb Yehuda Amir, he says, Shalosh Rugalim, for three Yom Tovim, those are the Shalosh Rugalim of Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, v'achal haregel ha'achrin sheva yamim. And after the last Yom Tov that he already announced for three Yom Tovim, that's everyone's oil of the regal. They all come up to Yerushalayim. You announce the three Yom Tov. After the last Yom Tov, you wait for 7 days. Now, why do you wait 7 days? K'deshiyelech, that every single person could go lebeisa to his home. That takes shloisha, that takes 3 days from when he heard the announcement. Right? After on the Yom Tov, he heard the announcement. So he has to take 3 days to get home. And then to go ahead and check at home to see if he lost anything. And if he realizes that, yes, there's something that's lost, the Yachzer Shloisha, and that so that it gets 3 days to come back to where the announcements are taking place. Then the Yachris, then the one who lost on that last day, he can announce that I lost something and these are the Simanim. That is Yom Echad, that takes 1 day, and therefore that's where 7 days come in. Again, 3 days to get back home, because it's after Yom Tov. Then quickly checks, 3 days to get back, and then 1 day on the last day to announce and say, look, I don't have it, and these are the simanim. Can someone tell me if they have what I'm describing? Now the Gemara asks that it would seem that 3 days is not enough to get to the end of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore why are we giving only 7 days? It should be much longer if we're trying to allow everyone to go home to then come back. Why are we giving just 7 days? And the Gemara will address that. Now the Gemara first explains the case of Reb Meir, that he said that Achiyidu Shcheinav, when do you have to announce until? So his opinion was, until the neighbors know about it. So Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Shcheine Aveda, that it's until the neighbors of the lost object. So the Gemara asks, my Shcheine Aveda, what is this in this opinion of Reb Meir, that until the neighbors of the lost object know about it? Ilei Meshcheinim Debal Aveda, if it means to say the neighbors of the owner of the one who lost the object, But then, yodale, if we know who's the one that lost it, that we're going to ask the neighbors, let's go and give it to him. We know who it is. What does it mean, the neighbors of who, of what? What it means to say, until the neighbors of the place of where the object was lost, in other words, where you found it, that's where you start asking around the neighbors and you announce it to them, because maybe it was theirs, because it was found around their area. That's all you have to do. And when the neighbors know about it, then you don't have to announce it anymore. Then the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah that said, Yehuda Aimer, however, Yehuda's opinion was that it's not just enough until the neighbors know. You have to announce it for 3 Yom Tovim, and after the last Yom Tov, for an amount of 7 days. And that the Gemara asked for a minute, as we already alluded to this, we mentioned this in the Mishnah, that the Gemara's question is from the Mishnah Masechtas Tainis. That B'shleisha B'mar Cheshvan, it says that on the third day of the month of Cheshvan, and it's called Mar Cheshvan, that it has, it's on some level, it's bitter, it's Mar Cheshvan, that's the month after Tishrei, which it has Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot in it. So on the third day of Cheshvan, that's when we start asking for rain for the winter months. He says, B'zayin boy, on the seventh day of Mar Cheshvan. Now, why so late? Because that's 15 days after Sukkot ends. Now, why do we have to wait 15 days till Sukkot ends? So that the last one, the one who lives the furthest in Eretz Yisrael, can reach all the way to the Euphrates River, which is all the way at the end of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, that since we're asking for rain, that he won't get stuck in the downpour of the rains because of our requesting the rain. So we only ask 15 days after so that everyone will be home ready. So now the Gemara's question is, in our Mishnah we said so that we get, they have 3 days to go back home to then come back. And here we're saying in the Mishnah, Masechtas Tainis, that takes 15 days, not just 3 days. So on that the first terz in the Gemara, Amar Rav Yosef, he says, Loikash, it's not a difficulty. Because Khan, over here, which is a reference to the Mishnah Masechtas Tainis, who said that it takes 15 days for them to get home, was talking about the Mikdash region. That was during the first Beis HaMikdash. Khan, over here in our Mishnah, which said that it only takes 3 days to get home, is B'Mikdash Sheni, was in the second, in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara explains. B'Mikdash Rishon, in the first Beis HaMikdash, the Nefesh Yisrael Tuva, where there were a lot of Jewish people, the Chsev Bahu, like it says, Apostling of Malachim Aleph, says, Yehuda V'Yisrael Rabim, that the people of Judea and of the Jewish people, there were many of them. Kechol asher al hayam l'rav, like the sand that's by the sea to the many. In other words, there were many people, like just like the sand on by the sea. So they were be'inu kuli hai. That's why we needed so much time to wait 15 days until we asked for rain, because they were, the people, there were so many people, they lived very, very far. So that's why it took 15 days. However, our Mishnah is talking about B'mikdash Sheni, in the second Beis HaMikdash, D'loi Nefish Yisrael Tuva, that there weren't so many Jewish people then in Eretz Yisrael. The Chsibu, like it says about them in Ezra, Kol HaKol Ke'echad, like the entire assembly as one, were how many? Arba Riboy Alpaim, that was 42,000. Arba Riboy is 410,000, Riboy is myriads, so that's 42,000. Sholosh Me'es V'shishim, and there were and 360. So there was 42,360 people. That wasn't that many. Lebi'in kulihai. Therefore, they didn't need that much time to get home because how far were they already from Yerushalayim? And therefore, it only took 3 days. However, Amale Abaya, Abaya asked on this pshat of Rav Yosef. Says, but v'hoksiv, it says a pasuk in Nehemiah. It says v'yeshva hakahanim v'alaviim begrim. It says that the, when they came back from the Gullus of Bavel, after 70 years, they came back over to Eretz Yisrael for the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. So it says the Kahanim, the Levim, they came back. V'hamashayrim, v'hashayrim, the singers and the gatekeepers, those were the different jobs of the Levim. V'chol Yisrael and all the Jewish people, ba'orehem, in their cities. And therefore what Abai is saying is that although there were very few people then in times of Beis HaMikdash, but it says that they were ba'orehem. They were in all their cities, very far and dispersed throughout Eretz Yisrael, and they were very far from Yerushalayim, just like they originally were. Because although people were coming back to their towns, and not everyone was coming back, very few people, but they were still going back to their original towns, all the way to the Euphrates River, which takes 15 days. So how can you say that in times of second Beis HaMikdash, which is what a Mishnah told about, it took only 3 days, because there were very few people, but even though there were very few, they still lived as far as they used to live. So we just left to wait for 15 days. So on that, the Gemara says, "B'kibin dehachiyu." And since it is like Abaye just explained from the pasuk in Nehemiah, so ibcha mistabra Abaye says it makes sense to the exact opposite of Rav Yosef's teretz, and that is mikdash rishon in the times of the first Beis HaMikdash, dinefishi Yisrael tuva. Whereas we had explained from the pasuk that in Malachim Aleph that there were a lot of Jewish people, the mitzavas alma, that there were groups of people. In other words, everyone had a partner, as the pasuk says, "Tayv mashnayim." Better two people than one. And therefore they were caravans, which means say groups of people traveling, the Azli Bain Biyamama Bain Malelia. People going during the day, during the night, because there were so much people were going at all times because no one was going by themselves, because it's not safe from different elements to be going at nighttime. But there were so many people, so they were going at all times. It didn't take so much time. And that's why our Mishnah said, which is a reference to Mikdash Rishon, the first base of Mikdash, you only have to wait 3 days because even though they lived so far, it only took 3 days because they traveled throughout the day, throughout the night, because there were so many people going that people weren't afraid. However, Mikdash Sheni, but the Mishnah Masechtas Tainis was talking about the second base of Mikdash, to loin fish Yisrael Tuva, as you had brought up possibly, that there weren't that many Jewish people, and there weren't groups of people to be able to go with. And therefore, there weren't caravans, the Azli, Bein B'Imam, and Bein Malaya, that were going on all times, because there weren't that many people to get a caravan, a group of people at all times. And therefore, Be'inu Kulihai, that's why the Mishnah Masechtas Tainis, which was talking about the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, that's why they said you have to wait 15 days till you started asking for rain, because if not, the people are going to get stuck, because although it took only 3 days in times of the first Beis HaMikdash, but in times of the second Beis HaMikdash, there weren't that many caravans, it took longer, and that's why they said you had to wait 15 days. Now Rava says a third approach. He says, Loishna b'mikdash rishon, it doesn't make a difference whether it would be during the times of the first Beis HaMikdash, but Loishna b'mikdash sheni, it wouldn't make a difference if it was during the times of the second Beis HaMikdash. And that is, that would always be, like our Mishnah said regarding returning a lost object, you would only have to wait 3 days for him to get back home. Now, why is that? But we have the Mishnah Masechtas Tainis that says it takes 15 days. And that's why we only start asking for the rain by Zayin Cheshvan. And that, Rava says, Lahitrichu rabbanan b'avedu yoyis medayim. The Rabbanan did not make a person exert himself and put in that much effort with an item, a lost object that he found, more than what's necessary. You're right. Certain people live very far away and they're not going to be able to get back in time. But in spite of that, we did not make the person wait longer than that. Whoever lives within 3 days worth, or will put in the effort to get back within 3 days, so he'll be able to come back, but we don't make him wait that long, 15 days for someone to get home, 15 days to get back. He's going to spend a month in Yerushalayim. We don't expect somebody to spend that much time on a lost object. Now, the Gemara says, based on what we had explained in Rabbi Yehuda's opinion in our Mishnah, Sam Ravina says, Shema Mino. One thing you could hear from Rabbi Yehuda, from the fact that he said the halacha was that after the 3 yom tovim, you give 7 days for the person to stay there with the lost object, which is the amount of time it takes for a person to get home and to get back. What you could learn from that halacha is that ki machris, when the person who found this object, when he makes the announcement, what does he announce? Glima machris. He announces, I found a cloak, I found a talus. And he announces specifically what the object was. And that's why we didn't have to give the person a day to go home, or more than that, to go ahead and look into his garments or all his utensils and everything that he has at home, what he lost. Because a person knows how many taluses he has, he knows how many jackets he has, and therefore when he gets home, he checks right away to see if it's there, if the amount that he knows he has are there, and if not, and he doesn't have to wait. And therefore if he sees he's missing one, he comes right back. He doesn't have to spend a day looking for that. And therefore, that's why I could prove to you that when the person announces, he announces exactly what it was. Because if you would think that he just says, you know what, I found a lost object, and he doesn't tell you what the object is. It could be a cane, it could be a shirt, it could be a ball, it could be anything. He doesn't tell you what it is. Now, if that was the case, we would at least have to give another extra day that the person could get home and check which object. In other words, he has to check everything in his house. And this is a machlikas that we're going to see later on in Amud Beis regarding this, what is announced. But if you would say that he just says, I found a lost object, now how am I going to go right home and come right back? Because we're saying we give 7 days, right? 3 to go home, 3 to go back, and then the 7th day to announce and that he could get his object back. But it should be at 8 days at least, because at least give him 1 day when he gets back home to check. He doesn't know. He doesn't know what it was. So obviously, Ravina wants to prove from here, El Shmamino, Glima Machrish Mamino. Obviously, when the one who makes the announcement, I found a shirt, I found a cloak, I tell he does exactly what. The person could right away go home, check, and come right back. He doesn't need a day to check. However, Rava Amar Rava says, no, it's not a raya. A filatima avidosa machris. I could even tell you, like the other mandama that we see on Amud Beis, that the person just announces, I found a lost object. Now, but then the question is, What do you do with the fact that he needs at least a day to go home and check? You know, how is he going to know what it was? That is like what Rava said just before in the previous discussion when in resolving the contradiction of our Mishnah and the Mishnah Masechtas Tainis, Lahitrichi Rabbanan. The Rabbanan did not require this person who found the object to wait, but Avedu Yesemidai by a lost object more than what's necessary. In other words, more than 7 days, we didn't make him wait. Just like we didn't make him wait, even though people live so far, they're not going to have to get back in time. Here too, although essentially, someone that lives 3 days away, he himself won't be able to really get back in time because it takes him at least a day to check. It doesn't make a difference. More than 7 days, we didn't make him wait. And therefore, that answers the question, even though you say Avedasa Machers, even if he doesn't say what it is, we're not going to make him wait more than 7 days, and it's not a Raya that Glima Machers. Now, regarding this halacha of Rabbi Huda that we mentioned in the Mishnah, that he says that it has to be 3 Yom Tovim, and then after the last Yom Tov, then you wait for 7 days. So the Gemara brings Tanabon the Braisa that elaborates on this halacha. Regal Rishon, the first Yom Tov that he announces this lost object, Omer, he says when he's announcing it, he says, Regal Rishon, this is the first Yom Tov that I'm announcing it. And the reason why he says this is that the one who lost an object shouldn't have to come back specially to Yerushalayim in those 7 days afterwards, because when it comes to the second Yom Tov, then he'll be oil regal again when everyone has to come to Yerushalayim, and then he'll give the sign, and then he'll get it. He won't have to come specially back. So that's why he says it's the first Yom Tov. Don't worry, even if you don't come back right now, you're not going to lose it, because I'll be back here the next Yom Tov. Regal Sheni, I'm on the second Yom Tov, he says. Regal Sheni, it's the second Yom Tov. Regal Shlishi, I'm Istam. On the third and final Yom Tov, he says, plain, he just says, I found a lost object. And he doesn't say which one of the 3 Yom Tovim it is that he found it, so that the one who lost it should not rely on, you know, I'll get it the next Yom Tov, and he'll understand if he didn't say what number it is, that this is the last one. On that, the Gemara asks, Vamai, why? Lema Regal Shlishi. Say it's the third Yom Tov, and everyone knows that for 3 Yom Tovim it's announced. He'll know if he hears the last one, he'll have to rush back in within the 7 days after the Yom Tov. And that the Gemara answers, Deloy Osi Lachlufa B'Sheni, that it shouldn't get mixed up with the second Yom Tov, as Rashi explains that maybe there's going to be someone that heard, this is the, and he didn't hear clearly, did he say it was the second Yom Tov? Not the third Yom Tov, he didn't hear clearly, so he might think it was the second one and think he has another Yom Tov, so don't say anything. If you don't say anything, you're not going to confuse it with a different number. You'll know if he didn't say what one it is, that it was the last one. But that the Gemara asks, Sheni Nami, and then the second one also, we continue on to Amud Beis, Asi Lachlufa B'Rishon. Maybe you shouldn't say the number by the second one either, because you might get confused and think it was the first one. However, the Gemara says, "B'hoka'asi regal shlishi." That's not such a problem, because he's still going to come another Yom Tov on the third one, and then you won't hear anything. You'll know it's the last one. You'll have to come back. So therefore, even if the person will mix up the second one with the first one, it's still not such a problem, because he'll be back the next Yom Tov, and then he'll know that this is the last chance, and he'll have to come back within the 7 days. Now, the Gemara brings a braisa that we spoke about in our Mishnah, that how long does a person have to announce? So the Gemara brings a braisa regarding the history of how it was that they would announce. And that is, we had in our Mishnah, one opinion says that the neighbors, until they know, another opinion was for the 3 Yom Tovim. However, the braisa brings as follows. Turn Rabban. Brishayna originally, Kami Shematz Aved, whoever found the lost object. So the braisa brings like Rabbi Huda's opinion. He would announce it for 3 Yom Tovim. And after the last Yom Tov, after the last holiday, then for 7 days, why that amount? So that the person could go home, it takes him 3 days to get home. It takes him 3 days to get back. And one day he announces, that's like, again, Rabbi Huda in our Mishnah, that's what they used to do. However, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, which should be rebuilt speedily in our days. Now, there's no ma'alila regal. People are not coming up anymore for every Yom Tov to Yerushalayim. So therefore, what do? You're not announcing it there. Hiskinu shem achrizim, so they were masak and they instituted that they should announce it. Bebata kinesias and bebata midrashas, in the shuls, in the beis medrashas, where the people gather together, that's where you announce it. However, a later stage, umishirabu ha'anosim, but when those who would force, as the Gemara will explain soon, what does that mean, the ones who would force and coerce, when those people became many, then they couldn't announce in the shul anymore, because then these people would hear about it, and they would do these forcing things to the people that had found it. Hiskinu shiyim maidin, so they instituted that you should notify it, l'shchenav, to his neighbors, l'midav, and to those that he knows, v'dayan, that would be enough what you should do in your announcing process. So the Gemara asks, in the explanation of this brisa, "May misharabu hanasan." What does this mean when those who would force the people that found it, when there were many of them already, that they stopped announcing in shuls and would just tell those people around them that they knew? What does that mean? So that means, like those people, the army, that they would say, "Avidas lamalka." The lost objects belong to the king. The king gets something that was found that doesn't belong to regular people. And when those people came around, they would take everything that was found and give it to the king. And people that actually lost it wouldn't be able to get it back. So they stopped announcing it in public places like shuls and medrashes. And they just announced it to people that they knew so they could return it to its rightful owner. As the Gemara illustrates with a story, Reb Ami, Ashkach Udya Dinri, he found a vessel, like a bowl, full of golden coins. Now, Chazyahu Bar Nash, so this certain individual, which was a Roman, that he saw the komirtas. He saw that Reb Ami was afraid because of, as we just explained, that these anasim, when they see somebody found something, they're going to say, "Oh, it belongs to the king." So, however, Amalei, so this person told him, "Zil go, shkoyle navshach, take it for yourself. The lav parsalyanan, I'm not one of the Persians. I mean, they say avidas lamalka, they say all lost items belong to the king. Don't worry, I see you found it. You could keep it. I'm not from one of those types of people, and therefore you don't have to worry." Tarabon, we learn the brisa, also related to this halacha about how they used to announce things. Evan toyin hoyseb Yerushalayim. There was the claimer's stone in Yerushalayim. What does that mean? Kol misha avdele aveda, whoever lost something, and therefore he's a claimer, niftin l'sham, he would go to that stone. V'chol misha meitza aveda niftin l'sham. And whoever found an object, he would also go there. Ze'im eramachers, this person would get up and announce that, "Hey, I found this object." V'ze'im eramachers, simon eramachers, this person would get up, he would give the sign, and he would take it. This is what we had learned in Masechtas Tainis and Daf Yutesim and Alf with the story with Chayni Hamagel, that he said, after the story, he said, "Go out and see im nimchas even hatoyin, if this claimer's stone, if that has already been effaced, if that has already had been disintegrating." What that really meant was to say he wanted to know, because he had davened for rain, and Hashem heard his tefillas, and there was a lot of rain, but there was, so to speak, too much rain. So they were asking, "Please, daven, that it should stop." But he didn't want to stop a bracha. So he said, "Look, if the rain covered, that it got so high that it covered even the claimer stone, which was very high, which people get up and make these announcements, and then there's, that means there's too much rain, and then I'll daven that the rain should go away." Again, that was what that story was referring to, and it said, Evan Atayin was this stone where they used to make the announcements, again, Yerushalayim, when people used to come up there on the Lila Regal, that they would make the announcements for 3 Yom Tovim, and then for the 7 days after. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on the different pratim, the different parts of the laws of the obligation of a Shabbos Aveda. So, Amar Es Aveda, if the one who's claiming that it's his, he says the lost object, what the object is, but V'loyama Simenel, he doesn't say the identifying features. He says, "Look, I know you found a Walkman, I know you found a toy," but he doesn't say a Simen to show what it is. So like, then you don't give it to him. He has to have a Simen. V'haramai, however, a deceiver, someone that is not such a trustworthy individual, even if he tells you a simon, you do not give it to him. Shneim, like it says a pasuk in Devarim, that you should hold on to it, hold on to the lost object, until your brother seeks it out, until he comes looking for it, then you return it to him. However, the drasha on that pasuk is, until you check out your brother, the one who's claiming that it's his, imramahu imainaram. You got to check out if he's a deceiver or not. Because if he's a deceiver, then you don't return it to him. And that even if he gives a simon, you can't give it to him. So the Gemara brings a machlokes. As in this machlokes we had already mentioned on Amud Aleph. Itmar, it was learned as follows. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, avidasa machris. Rabbi Yehuda says that when the person announces, he says, "I found a lost object." Doesn't say what it is. Rabbi Nachman Amar, he says, glima machris, says, he's a little bit more specific. He tells what the object is. He said, "I found the cloak, I found the shirt, I found the jacket." And then the person says, "Oh yeah, I can give you a simon." Now, the Gemara explains the understanding of their machlokes. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Avidasa Machris, he says that you announce just that it was a lost object. Di'i Amrit Glima Machris, because if he announces what the object was, then Chashin L'Ramai, we're concerned about deceivers. And that is because maybe the one who lost the object was complaining amongst his neighbors. He goes, "Oh yeah, I lost my favorite jacket." And this Ramai knows the simanim about it because he lived next to him. He knows how his jacket looks. And when he's going to hear the one who found it announce, "Oh, I found a talis, I found a jacket," he's going to get up and give the simon because he knows this guy's jacket. He always looks at it when he passes by. And therefore, he says that you only announce avidas, you only announce a lost object. Then, it's not going to enter his mind to say, because he didn't really lose it. The one who lost it, when he hears a lost object, he goes, yeah, was it a jacket? And if it's a jacket, this is a simon. This person's not thinking about that person's jacket when he hears a lost object. There's a million lost objects. And therefore, he's not going to think to say, oh, that I lost the talis and these are the simonim. Therefore, you don't say what it was, and you just say a general term that you found a lost object. That's what Rabbi Yehuda holds. Rav Nachman Amar Glima Machris. Rav Nachman says, no, you announce what the object was. I found the talis, I found the jacket. Because L'Ramay L'Chashin, we're not concerned, we're not going to go so far to make it more difficult and challenging for people to figure out, I lost something, did I? If you hear exactly what it was, then you'll know. And we're not concerned about deceivers. If we would have to consider and be worried about deceivers, there'd be no end to it. Because even now also, even if you say like your opinion that you just say a lost object, maybe he'll still say, oh, if it's a talis that you found, oh, these are the simanim, because deceivers are always looking out to make rip off somebody. And therefore, we're not concerned, and we do what's more convenient, and that is to announce glima, and not just a generic, general term of a lost object. So now the Gemara asks under Rav Nachman's opinion from our Mishnah. So now we learned in the Mishnah. Amar Saveda, if someone says what the lost object, lost item was, but v'loyomas as simanel, he doesn't give the identifying features of it, you don't give it to him. So although the person is saying, I found a lost object, he says, you know what, you found, I know what you found, you found a ball. But he doesn't tell you a simon about the ball, you don't give it to him. So now the Gemara says, if you say, like the opinion of Yehuda, that what you announce is just, I found a lost object, and you don't say what the object itself was, so then the Tana would have to tell us that chiddush, the hokamash balan, that Afa Gavda Amar Glima, even though the one who's claiming that it says, tells you what the object was, he tells you, oh, it was a shirt. Then, Kilo Yama Simonim Loi Madrin Loi. So the Chiddush is, even though he told you what the object was, and you didn't even say what it was, still you don't return to him because he didn't give a simon. But Eli'i Amar Glima Machris, if you say like Rav Nachman, that the person already announced, I found a shirt, he tells you what the object was. So then the question is, Amar Ihu Glima. So the one who announced, saying, I found a shirt, now the one who's saying, oh, I know what you found the shirt. We're going to have to say, did the Mishnah even have to tell us that if he's not giving you a simon, that we don't return it to him? He didn't say anything, he just repeated the words of the one who found it. Must be, that is like the other opinion that says, oh, like Rabbi Huda says, that he didn't say what it was. And he said what it was. He said it was a ball, he said it was a jacket, so you would think, oh, he already said something, maybe he would give it to him. That's what the Chiddush would have to tell us, that, but he didn't give a simon. But according to Rav Nachman, there's no chiddush whatsoever. Amar Rav Safra answers, he says, L'olam glima machris. You could say like Rav Nachman, that the one who announces what the object is. He says, I found the jacket, I found the shirt. However, the case is told about Amar Ihu glima, the one who's announcing said that I found the shirt. V'amar Ihu simanim, and the one who's claiming that it's his, he gives identifying features about it. Now, but then what does the Mishnah mean to say that he didn't give a simon, and that's why we're now returning it to him? It means, he did not give clear simonim about it. And therefore, since he didn't give simonim move hakim, that's why we don't return to him. Yes, there is a chiddush even according to Rav Nachman, because he did give a simon. He said, let's say with one of those beach balls, he said that, I know, you said you found a beach ball, it has the color green, blue, and red, and white. And now, all beach balls have that. Now, but he gave a simon, and that's what the chiddush is even according to Rav Nachman. Yes, the person announced what the object was, but this person, although he gave a simon, that's not simon muvhakin. A simon muvhak would be that there's a black mark in the shape of a face on the bottom of the ball. That would be a simon, that would be called a simon muvhak, that then we return to the person. And therefore, it's not a question under Rav Nachman's opinion, because even though he is announcing the object, that we're saying you didn't give a simon means you didn't give a simon muvik, but you gave a simon, and that's why we're not returning it to you, and there was not difficult in according to Rav Nachman. Now the Gemara continues explaining our mission. I said, v'haramai, and the deceiver, afapi sha'amer es simoneho, even if he told you simonim about it, harizuli, like, you still don't give it to him, because he's a deceiver, and he found some way to cheat the system, and we're not going to return it to him. So related to this, the Gemara brings Tarabon, we learn the Braisa. Pirishayna originally, whoever lost an object, it would be a very simple process. He'd give a simon and he would take it. However, when there became too many deceivers, a lot of people were cheating. They were not telling the truth. They instituted that they would tell the person that claimed that it was his, that you would tell him, Tseva Havei Edom de Lavramai Atvatul. I know you're giving me a simon, but you have to first bring witnesses to tell me that you're a trustworthy person, that you're not a deceiver, and then you can go ahead and take. But just by giving me a simon, that's not enough, because there's so many ramoin that they would sneak on people and check what simonim are, and then it would get lost, and therefore the fact that you're giving me a simon is not enough. As the Gemara illustrates with this story, Kihada avud rav papa, as once happened with the father of a papa, irkis lechamra vashkechua. He once lost a donkey, and he heard that it was found. So asli kameh the rabbi bar avun, he came in front of the rabbi bar avun to go ahead and get his donkey. And he was giving simanim. Amalei said to him, Zilaisi sahadi de lav rame atvatul. First go ahead, bring witnesses, tell me that you're not a deceiver, and then now you'll be able to take with your simanim, but just give me simanim is not enough because there's so many deceivers around. So azil aizil sahadi, he went and he brought witnesses. So Amar Lahu, so Rabbi Rav Huna said to these witnesses to ask them to make sure that they know that he's trustworthy. Yidiisin be diramehu, do you know that he's a deceiver? Amrulay in, they said yes. Now they thought that he was asking him. They were asking the witnesses, do you know that he's not a deceiver? Because that's usually what you ask. Do you know that he's trustworthy? Do you know that he's not a deceiver? So they answered yes, but really he had asked them, do you know that he's a deceiver? So Amar Lahu, the father of Rav Papa, said to them, Ano Ramo Ano? What, I'm a deceiver? What are you answering to him that you know that I'm a deceiver? Amar Lahu, they said to him, no, Anan Lav Ramoy Ad Kamrinan. What we meant to say, because we thought he was asking, do you know that he's not a deceiver? Because that's what he's trying to find out. And what we meant to say was that you're not a deceiver. So Amar Rabbi Bar Rav Huna, he says, Mistabri, it would make sense that this was what their original intention was. And what's important to know is because if they had meant one thing and then they changed their mind, that would be a halachic problem within halachas of edus and saying testimony, what's called magid v'chayzer magid. You cannot say a certain type of a testimony and then retract and say something that's contradictory to that. And therefore, what he was saying was, it makes sense that they really intended to say that they weren't retracting now what they originally said, that, oh, the first they said you're a rami, now they're saying you're not. And therefore, there's no halachic problem with testimony because Le'maisi inish chevasal nafshe. Nobody brings witnesses for himself that are going to say bad about him. And therefore, when the father of Papa was bringing the witnesses, most definitely he was confident that they weren't going to say that, oh, he's not trustworthy. He obviously did his due diligence and made sure that the witnesses he's bringing is going to vouch for him. And that's why it's okay. It's not a halachic problem of magid or chezer magid, and you're trustworthy, and you have this among them, and you can get your donkey back. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again talking about the specific halachas in the details of the halacha of Hashavas Aveda. So the Mishnah tells us, Kol davar she'isav eichel, every object that you found, that it does work and it consumes, and that is, if this is a lost object, that you can feed it the work that it makes, and therefore you won't be losing money on it. For example, let's say an ox or a donkey, where it works, you could plow with it, you could do different work with it, and therefore there's money that's being made off the ox and the donkey. Therefore, although you have to feed the ox and the donkey, however, you're not going to be charging the one who lost the object because it's going to counteract the gain that you're getting from it is going to counteract the loss of what you have to feed it. So that's what it means. It's oisav eichel. Although it's eichel, it eats, but it works also. So yasav eichel. So you continue that process of letting it work and then letting it eat of the work that it's making. And you don't sell it. The one who found it should not sell it if the owner doesn't come so quickly, because everybody prefers to have their animal that they're used to already, and they already taught it to do the things they needed to do, because it takes time to teach a new animal, to train them in, to do the work you needed to do. Therefore, hold on to it, because you're not losing any money by holding on to it. It's working for you, and then although you're feeding it, but it's equivalent to the work that it's doing. However, regarding an animal that or an object that doesn't do any work, but it consumes, you're going to have to be spending money on it to eat, then you macher, then you sell it. Shneim, like it says, the pasuk in Devarim, it says, v'hashi v'yisoy loy, that you should return the lost object to him, which that means, re'ei heich tishaveni loy, see how you're going to see it, how you're going to return it to him. Which what that means is that don't give it to eat half of its worth, because then that's not called hashavi, not really returning anything to him. In other words, if the ox is worth $200, and till the time the owner is going to come, this ox is not working, but you have to feed it for it to stay alive, and you're spending money on it to eat. So it's costing $50, $75, $100, and then finally it comes. And then he's coming to get his ox back, which is worth $200. I say, wait a second, pay me $100 for the money I spent, and it wasn't my ox. So now you're not giving back really what he lost. You're giving back half of what he's lost. So then you don't do that, you sell it right away. Whereas a regular full-fledged ox and a donkey where it works, where although every day it costs you maybe $5 to feed him, but he works $5 worth, and therefore hold on to it because then he's going to get back what he lost and you're not losing anything in the process. But then the Mishnah continues, Mayehi b'dam. So he said by things that don't work, but they still eat up your money, so you sell it off, what do you do with the money at that time? So it's a machlekes. Reb Tarfon Naimi Yishtamash Ben. You can use the money. And lefikach, therefore, and the Gemara will explain this, im avdu, if it gets lost, chayv b'achriyusin. You're responsible for that money, and therefore, whatever happens to it, since you're able to use it, and that puts you in a certain category of someone that's having pleasure with someone else's thing, that puts a high responsibility on you. And therefore, since Reb Tarfon says you're allowed to use it, if something happens to it, you're responsible for it. Reb Kiva Aimeh, he says, lo yishtamash ben, you're not allowed to use that money. And lefikach im avdu, therefore, if it gets lost, ein chayv b'achriyusin, he's not responsible for it as someone that, let's say, would be a shomer chinam who's watching it for free, he's not getting any usage out of it because he can't use the money. Therefore, like a shomer chinam who's pater on gneva v'aveda, if it gets lost or stolen, therefore, he's going to be exempt. Now the Gemara asks on our Mishnah. So we start off by saying that if you find an ox or a donkey, something that eats and but it works for itself, so then you let it eat and work. The Gemara asks, "Ula'ila, forever?" In other words, let's say the owner never comes. Do I have to I have to hold on to this ox and donkey forever because it's working? But I have to be busy with it. On that, Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel says, "No, it's ad yud beis chodesh until 12 months." Tanam hochi, similar in the Braisa, that tells us this same idea that although this is something that you don't lose from, but still there's a lot of effort that goes into it. Therefore, however, up until 12 months, yes, more than that, you don't have to hold on to it anymore. And then you would sell it off and keep it as money as the Gemara brings a brisa that goes through different categories of different things, how long you have to hold on to it. Kaldavir sha'isav eichel, anything that works and eats, kigampar v'chamar, like a cow and a donkey, metapel behen ayud b'schedish, so then you hold on to it up until 12 months. And again, that was the case of the Mishnah that Rav Nechman Shmuel had explained, that although you have to hold on to it, but not more than 12 months. And therefore, mekam v'eilach, after 12 months, sham de mehen, you assess, you figure out their value, and then you sell it for that price. And then you keep the money by you, and that you could hold on to. That doesn't take effort. Agolim v'siyachin. However, calves, which are young cows, and siyachin, which are young donkeys, where they're too small and they can't work. So then they're in the category of eina oisa v'oicho. Metapel behen shleish chadashim. Then you hold on to it for only 3 months. After 3 months, sham demein umanichin. Then you estimate the value, and you sell it, and then you hold on to it. Avazin v'tana goylin, then the next category is for avazin are gander, which are the male, those are the men type of the goose, and v'tana goylin are roosters, those are the male types of the chickens, which these are zacharim, they're the males, which they don't, in the case of the rooster, doesn't lay eggs. Metapavan shleishim yom, you only hold on to it for 30 days. Bekama elech, after that, sham demein manich, and then you estimate its value, and you put it on the side. So now related to this, we said regarding the rooster that you only have to hold on to it for 30 days. However, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak says Tarna Goylins, a hen, which is the female of what the rooster is, which is the let's say the lady chicken, Kibehemagasa, that has halacha like a large animal. In other words, just like the ox and the donkey, which it's Oisav Aicheles, it eats, but it works too, that you hold on to it for 12 months, a hen would have the same halacha. And the reason is because it lays eggs. So the eggs pay for what you're putting in for the chicken feed that you have to feed the chicken. That counteracts it, and therefore you would hold on to it for 12 months because you're not losing like you are like with a rooster, which is eating, but you're not getting any eggs out of it. Tanem ha'oche, similar to Nabraisa. Tanem ha'gelis ube magasa, a hen and a large animal, metapa and shnei masachedish, you hold on to it for 12 months. And then mekam be'elech, after 12 months, sham demein manichan, then you estimate its value and you sell it and then you hold on to it. Agolim b'siyachin, this brisa, the second brisa continues and says, for the calves, for the young cows, and for the young donkeys, metapaben lamed yom, you hold on to it for only 30 days. Mekam be'elech, after 30 days, sham demein manichan, you estimate its value and you leave it on the side. And the next category is avazim v'tarn ha'goylin, for the male chickens and geese. And b'chol davar shetipule merubi mischari, and anything where the effort that you're putting into it is more than the gain you're getting out of it. So there's more in the debt than the credit. In other words, you're taking, it's going to be going constantly down of what you're going to be returning to him because the work that it's doing is much less than what you have to spend on it. Metapa and shleisha yam, you only hold on to it for 3 days. Mekam elech, after that, sham demein manich, and you already estimate its value and you leave it over. So the Gemara had introduced the second Braisa to tell us this halacha of the Tarna Gailis. However, once it quoted the second Braisa, the Gemara says that these two Braises, the first one that we quoted and the second one, contradict each other on 2 points. Kasha agolim v'siyachin, we have the contradiction of the calves and the young donkeys, which the first Braisa said you hold on to it for 3 months. Agolim v'siyachin, on the second Braisa, which said you only hold on to them for 30 days. That's one contradiction. A second one is avaza matan legalim, on the roosters and on the gander, which the first Braisa said you hold on to it for 30 days. Avaza matan legalim, on the second Braisa, which says you hold on to it for only 3 days. So how do we understand those two contradictions of the two Braises? And that the Gemara answers, a golem b'siyachin loy kasha. The contradiction of the two brises regarding the calves and the young donkeys, it's not a difficulty, because it's talking about two different cases. Ha, the brise that says you hold on to it for 3 months is diraya. It's talking about at a time when there's a lot out there to pasture. In other words, there's a lot of grass that's growing in the fields where there's not a lot of effort going into taking care of the animals. And that's why for the calves and for the young donkeys, although they're not working, but it's not so difficult, therefore, although you're not going to wait 12 months, but you could hold on to it for 3 months. It's not going to be really an expense. Vaha, however, the Braisa says you only hold on to it for 30 days, is the Petuma, is when there's not a lot out there in the fields of pasture, and you have to fatten it with your own trough, which is that vessel where they would put all the animal feed inside of it from what you have in your house, which is going to end up costing you a lot of money. There we don't have make you wait for 3 months. There it's even after 30 days, and therefore it's not a contradiction. They're talking about at different times if there's out in the fields when it doesn't cost you, or if there's not. And regarding the contradiction of the gander and the roosters, that's also not a contradiction. Because ha, the second Bryce that says you only wait 3 days is beravervi. That's by large ones, which they eat a lot. And therefore, since, as we said, there's charim, the rooster, which it doesn't go ahead and produce anything, it's going to cost you a lot, and therefore you only hold on to it for 3 days. However, ha, the first braisa that said you hold on to it for 30 days was bezuchi. They're small, where they don't eat that much, and it's not such an expense. Therefore, you could hold on to up to 30 days, but not more than that, but not as little as 3 days like the other one, which was told about when they're large. Now the Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah that said, b'she'ena isav eichel, regarding those that don't do work, but they eat, as we said regarding all those like the calves and the donkeys, then we said you sell them. You don't hold on to them for 12 months. So the Gemara explains, Tana Bani Lina Braisa, as we had mentioned in the Mishnah, but the Braisa elaborates a little bit more, says, V'hashi v'isei loy, that you should return it to him, the lost object. What that means is, R'ei heich tishaven loy, see how you're going to be returning to him, make sure you're actually going to be returning to him what he had lost. Now what that means is, the Braisa explains is, Shlo yachil egel agolam. You shouldn't feed the calf to the calves. What that means is that from the calves that you found, don't feed it the value of a calf. In other words, if you're going to be feeding it more because you're holding on to it and it's going down in value for the owner, because although it's worth $200, but you're feeding it, so it's now he owes you $5, $10, $15, $20, and then he's only going to be getting nothing almost at the end, or half of it. Don't do that. Sell it right away that he gets back the full value of what he lost. And similarly, make sure that you're not going to feed the young donkeys to the young donkeys, which means to say by using its own value to pay for itself, or avzala avazin, or the gander for the gander, return the galen, and the roosters for the roosters. That's an elaboration on the case of what the halacha of the Mishnah said. Don't hold on to it so long that you're going to be spending so much money on it, and he's not going to be end up getting back. Make sure he gets back what he lost, and if it's costing you more than what it's giving you, sell it off, and then you hold on to the money and he'll get back what he lost.